Resolution 24 dash.
Resolution 24.
Echoing.
It's working.
Shouldn't be echoing. Try again.
Okay, resolution.
Arrangement.
I think that's people talking on. Okay, go ahead.
Resolution 24-067, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Township of McKellar, does hereby reconvene into regular open session of Council at 6:36 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-068, moved by Councilor Haskam, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held February the 6th, 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We're at open session. We'll start with roll call again.
Councillor Morley Haskam.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Debbie Zubak.
Councillor Mike Kaffman.
Clerk Administrator Ina Watkinson.
Deputy Clerk Carly Curtin.
And Mayor David Moore. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof?
Yes, I have one on 21.2.
21.2. That's all recorded.
Yes.
In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Grovins and Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. In honor of the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Delegations, presentations. We had Prairie Sound Industrial Park Board 2023 update on the industrial park. Bruce Kelly, was it? Okay, if you wish to go to the microphone. You have a PowerPoint, I understand?
I do.
Excellent.
If you just want to tell me when to switch slides, I can do so.
Okay. Hopefully that's turned on for you.
It is.
Okay.
Good evening, councilors, your worship, members of the gallery. Bruce Kelly, councilor from Carling Township, and I was invited here tonight, and I'm chair of the Industrial Park Board, and I was invited here tonight to bring you a bit of an update and information about the industrial park. So, got about six or seven slides, 6 or 7 minutes, and then you can ask me any questions you'd like. So, next slide, please. Oh, yeah, okay, there we are. So the industrial park, the next slide is a map, but it was created in the 70s. It's a joint partnership between the capital partners were the town of Prairie Sound and McDougall Township and municipality of McDougall and Carling Township.
What's the presentation I do?
So it's on Highway 69, up at the Woods Road exit, about 7 or 8 kilometers north of the four lane when it goes back to two. We'll get some maps up in a minute. On the left-hand side of the road is the industrial park, and on the right-hand side of the highway is where the four cells of the sewage lagoon system are located. You're working on the slides, Carly.
Okay, yeah.
For the installation of photo radar on our roads, we discussed as well.
Those people on Zoom, if you could mute yourselves, please. Those on Zoom, please press mute.
Sorry, Bruce.
Okay. So, as I said, of course, the history of the industrial park predates me. Most of you, but it, as you said, it was a partnership to create some industrial land to have industrial lots. So we have slides on the TV, but not on the on the other big screen. So this is a Google Map shot of the industrial park area. You're looking at the intersection of Highway 69 and Woods Road. You can see the four cells on the right-hand side of the road that make up the lagoon system, and then our road system. And so where the orange dot is, where it says North Brewery, right next to that is our water treatment plant. And we take water from a lake on the other side of the highway. It's pumped about a kilometer underneath the highway, and I call it a P-shaped. And if we go to the next slide. This year we've just, we undertook with FedNor and NOPEC money, another phase in our water and sewer project. So where the blue slice is in the top right-hand corner is where the water treatment plant is, and the red U is sewers and water that's added to, I call it completing the P. So Helen Crawford Drive, we're completing the P. So the sewers went in the fall, and they're all in. And then the water line will go in the spring, and then that road will be paved around the loop. And that'll add 14 service lots that are now fully serviced and four that had road to them but didn't have water and sewer to them. So that's essentially our industrial park. Now, it will be a clover leaf when the highway is completed. Just north of us, and if I can walk over and look at the map just for a minute, because I do have to point, the clover leaf will be here, and this will actually be the service road on this side for the clover leaf, and it will actually go fully over the clover leaf, and that's how we'll access the lagoons if and when the highway is ever built. In the big master plan, it's part of the clover leaf. You can go to the next slide whenever you want. So, obviously, the businesses that are in the park are charged for water and sewer, and those are the rates. Different line, different rates for different sizes, and different rates for different users. Next slide, Carly. So this is a Google Earth shot, again, of the four-cell lagoon system. So this is septage ponds. I know it's really exciting stuff. This is where the pump house is, and so any haulers... have a fob on their truck, all of the regional haulers. This is all done electronically. No one sits there. They have a fob on their truck. And there's a pump or a flow meter, and they fob it so they know what truck, what hauler, what load, what day. There's a paper backup, but they fob it and let it fly into cell one, and that's how it starts. Next slide, Carly. Yeah, so a truck like that hauls septage, and they are a necessary part of our infrastructure for those of us that don't have sewers. That's how our septage gets hauled, and this is where it gets hauled, from the seven partner municipalities and one native group. So that's the pump house, the green pipe. They hook up to it. The little antenna beams information back to the office, and all of the recording and billing is all done electronically on the septage side. Next slide, Colin. Can you move that text box up, maybe up right? It's the bottom, and that slide's valuable. So, as I said, there's eight partners. And if you're one of the eight partners, the rate to haul sewage is 17 cents a gallon. And if you're not one of the eight partners, it's a fairly prohibitive buck and a quarter. So if you have a standard size, we're looking at the bottom two bullet points right now. So if most septic tanks are 1,000 gallon or 1,500 gallon, and it's 17 cents of your septic haulage load to your favorite processor, about $140 is paid to for the tipping fee. And if you're not a member, it's much more prohibitive at a ridiculous $1,800. Next slide, Carly. So I think this is my last slide. So basically the financials, the income comes from four sources. A property tax revenues for $135,000 of the businesses that are in the park. We're happy to say that two more businesses that purchased properties last year have got their stormwater management plans and will be building in the next couple of months. So we'll have two more tenants, and then we have another property owner that will be building sometime in the summer. So we hope by September we hope to have three more businesses operating in the park. So as I said, income comes from four sources: tax base, water and sewer charges from the companies that are operating in the park. None of the current businesses are what you'd call a high water user. They're all small manufacturing type processors, so none of them are high water use. Most of the water is not going for processes, it's going for sewage, for washrooms, for employees, etc. Water and sewer charges, 70 grand. Tippage fees, these are 2022 numbers at 480,000. 2023 probably well over 500,000. And then finally, the contributions from the seven member municipalities and one First Nations. Each of the seven municipalities, Carly, McDougal, McKellar, Seguin, Archipelago, Whitestone, Parry Sound, and West Saskatoon First Nations all contribute basically $15,000 for a total of $118,000. And I think that's the last slide, or is there one more? Yep, that's it. So we do have a website, administration and management of the park moves around between the member municipalities. As of last year, McDougal was doing both administration and water services, and we made a bit of a transition. Carling's doing administration, and just in this month, we're transitioning from McDougal doing water services to the town of Parry Sound doing water services. So that's my presentation. I'd be happy to take questions.
Great. Thank you. Do you see that you mentioned $15,000? I guess that's what we're paying now, is it, per year? And we were told years ago that the reason for that was that the haulers then could do it in a cheaper fashion. They would be part of the whole system, and that people would get a break within the township, that if they didn't, if we didn't participate as a municipality, then exorbitant prices they'd be paying to take it there. So I'm just wondering now, do you see any, it's gone up to 15,000, obviously didn't start at that, do you see any, in the near future, any increase in that, or?
I really can't comment on it. We're in the middle of this construction project, and I became chairman in the middle of this construction project, so we've got grant money on the one side of the table, and changes happening on the other side of the table, but that fee has been very stable, I believe, for the last number of years. I don't think it's gone up. I don't see it changing. It's a very stably run and managed facility.
And I won't put you on the spot and ask for any figures of the number of people who are hauling from McKellar. I don't think you'd have that with you tonight. So.
Yeah, I don't have the distribution of haulers. I also don't know what the other regional options are
right. For
places to haul manure. My ag background. and that's why Mike and I know each other from my agricultural work. I know through south of here, like from Carling to Seguin, there's no other option to put septage other than, you know, we get Parry Sound sewage treatment plant doesn't take it. We like the portions of Parry Sound that are served by septics all come to Carling. The archipelago from cottages on boats, it's
Councilor Zulak.
So when a hauler comes in and he uses a fob, but I guess somewhere in his paperwork it must show the address where it's coming from, so we know how many's coming from the guy.
I'm going to say no. Like, we know what hauler and what truck, and he bills it back to his customers. But we don't know if Adams Brothers is hauling in a load we don't know where it came from.
Okay.
Like, Adams Brothers knows who's septage is on
so,
the truck.
Okay, so
they
know McKellar's a part of it, and they give them a reduced rate, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But we don't have a regional breakdown where
okay.
the septage comes from because we don't, the hauler, we just know which hauler and what truck, what day and what
okay.
time.
Thanks.
Councilor Ryan.
I'm curious, I mean, that you mentioned that you didn't have any high volume users. Wouldn't the brewery be a big water user? Maybe not sewage, but.
Fairly obvious question,
yeah.
Councilor Ryan, but they don't actually make beer there anymore.
Don't they? Okay.
Is my understanding.
Where do they make it? I probably don't know.
I don't know either. They
okay.
have a restaurant, but they don't actually make the beer there.
Okay.
Fairly obvious question.
Yeah.
The beer would
yeah.
be the high volume user.
Yeah. Okay.
Councilor Kegman.
So, looking at our contribution of approximately $15,000 a year, so does that go to fund the total revenues of the industrial park, or is it focus mainly on ensuring that the lagoon is, you know, up and running and functioning?
Yeah, no, fair enough question. We have expenses separated from water and septage, the two sides of the road, but the income doesn't really get directed to one side or the other. Like, in total, it balances, but I can't sit here. Money strictly goes to the septic side. No.
Okay.
No, it's pool.
Any other questions from council?
Well, I just want to note that that's one of our contributions that the tax dollars go to, which, looking at the price difference for the members and non-members is quite substantial. And quite a benefit for our taxpayers when you look at it. Being a member, approximately $140 per load compared to $1,850 per load if we were not a contributing member to the industrial park.
Yeah, there's another way of looking at it, and I'm not your planner, nor am I giving you planning advice, but if a municipality, if you want to fill out a subdivision application right now, there's a checkbox for is there a place for the septage to go, and you kind of have to have a plan for where the septage has to go. Like, you do have to have a plan now. It's part of the planning act and document, so it doesn't have to be us, but it does have to be, you do have to know where it's going to go. There is some responsibility there that's shared.
Yeah, sitting on the planning board, we see that all the time coming from Carling. Mm-hmm. They're sort of leading the charge and putting that in as a condition that there be a haulage provider and a place for it to actually be hauled.
And there is plenty of capacity in the cell system.
While you're here, I don't know any members of the public. They're on Zoom. I can't see anybody on Zoom at this stage, but the screen's...
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening, but there are people on Zoom.
Okay, so if anybody had any particular questions in person or on Zoom...
Yeah, hi, Sarah DeSilva.
Yes, okay, go ahead.
No, I just caught this topic late, but you're saying that the municipality, you're asking the municipality to pay approximately $15,000 towards the lagoon? I'm not understanding that. Like, it's, if myself as a septic, like a homeowner that needs to get their septic pumped in, you're paying the whoever, either Adams Brothers or whoever, but how does that cost us as taxpayers again?
Yeah, so the infrastructure had to be had to be built and had to be supported, and an agreement was made between the 8 municipalities many, many years ago that they would contribute some money each year toward the maintenance and upkeep of the facility. And so the 15,000 is not a new ask. It's been ongoing for years. I haven't been around long enough to know what it was. It doesn't change very much. Hasn't changed very much over the years, but it's not a new charge. And all 8 jurisdictions, the municipalities, all of them pay the same. So it's part of the capital structure of having a place for the septage to go.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, it was my understanding years ago, and this is through Adams Brothers, that they'd talked about the cost to the consumer. And if people didn't have an agreement with the industrial park, like that the haulers didn't, they'd be paying an awful lot more than what they're paying right now. So there is a system set up, I guess, that maybe the haulers themselves are able to give a lower price to the individuals. If they had to go out and get somebody else who didn't belong to that, they might be paying an awful lot more than what they pay now to Adams or whoever weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the fee structure, I had not done the math on what it would cost an outsider to bring a load of septage in until this presentation. I knew it was more. I've seen the spreadsheet, 17 cents and 24 cents, but I'd never done the math for it. I actually checked it. $1.24, not 24 cents, but that is what it is. So obviously it's a place to go for the members, and it's highly penalizes septage from outside the member group who support the infrastructure. We're repeating ourselves at this point, but that's the way it's set up. I can't explain all of the motherhood parts to how it was set up, but that is how it runs. The member municipalities contribute to make it pay.
Any final questions, comments?
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Got any questions? I mean, general questions and stuff, you can get information at the website, but any more specific questions, feel free to contact me and you can answer them anytime.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thanks for coming in person. Oh. Resolution 24-069, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the deputation from Bruce Kelly, Chair of the Parisande Area Industrial Park Board, providing Council with updates from the industrial park as requested. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Thanks again. Are we going to get
just
as long as they can see, as long as they can see us and they're participating,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Second delegation, McKellar Public Library, 2023 annual report. We have Debbie Woods and Terry Short and one mic. So I guess you'll have
we'll
to share.
We'll just take turns.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Councillor Sharon Moore. Oh, thank you, Harley. So a year ago, Terry and I stood here and showed you our first ever strategic plan for the library, creating our future together. It's a 4-year plan, but already we have accomplished half of the goals that are in it. And Terry and I are going to tell you about some of the amazing things that the library has accomplished this year, and Terry will begin by describing how we are now bringing books and information to one of the hardest to serve areas in our township, Broadview.
Okay, this year we installed what we call corner libraries. They are located at Smith Road and Blackwater Road, where the people stop to get their mail and to drop, but then the kids get dropped off from the school bus. They were installed in September 2023. They give us a chance to advertise our events in Broadbent, which is very hard to do. We don't get that many people from there. I'd like to thank my assistant librarian Lynn Campbell for coming up with the idea and getting the idea off the ground. And I'd also like to thank our Vice Chair, Diane Thompson, and her husband, Ken, for building our corner libraries. And they're very popular at Coleman, so hopefully it'll help us bring more people from Dartmouth to the library.
Okay, statistics, one of my favorite things. really. So we had 76 new patrons in 2023. Are you one of them? It's never too late to become a member, and it's free, and we brought some forms. I'll just leave them here. if you want to sign up. And we checked out over 1,700 physical items from the library this year and over 2,500 e-items, e-books and audiobooks. And we have an app for signing out e-books. It's called Libby. And I had seen Libby on the library website, and Terry had talked about it for a long time. But it wasn't until a little over a year ago when my visiting 8-year-old granddaughter signed out a book on Libby with her tablet from the Toronto Public Library, where she lives, on my couch on McKellar Lake Road. And so my husband, Marie, and I were amazed. We immediately got Libby for ourselves. Terry helped me. It was easy. And later, I used Libby to sign out a book to read on the plane when Marie and I took a holiday to St. Lucia. While there, I finished the book. It was The Goldfinch. It's a great book. And I was able to return it to the library and sign out something new to read, all without leaving my beach chair. So I really urge you to check this out.
Okay. Next thing on our list is Ontario Park Passes. We received 3 Ontario Park Passes again this year. It's their day-use passes, which we loan to our patrons. These provide complimentary day-use access to our Ontario parks. They're very popular for our patrons. We signed up 22 of them this year. So it's very well used.
That's amazing. This year we had a lot of great events. 76, in fact, with 652 participants. And even more of them this year were children's events, and they were very successful. So if you haven't attended a library event, be sure to follow us on Facebook, check our website regularly to find out about upcoming events, or you can even sign up for our email list simply by talking to a staff member or by ticking the email box when you fill out your new member form. And you can see there in the chart all the fun workshops that we've offered.
Okay, and the first pillar of our strategic plan is celebrating our community. And we did that in some really big ways. This year, we wrote a book called Celebrating McKellar for the Township of McKellar Sexcentennial. This book was written by the people of McKellar. The stories were gathered and edited by my assistant, librarian Lynn Campbell. We launched the book at the Grand Celebration Day on Saturday, July 29, 2023. We exceeded our book selling goal too, and the book has already been paid off, which is really great. Our library board member, Lynn Ellsworth, was on Sexcentennial Committee.
That's a hard word.
It is. Yeah. We also sold flags, calendars, and t-shirts for the Sexcentennial Committee.
Yes. No, exciting offer to read that part.
I know.
Our second pillar is innovation and growth. One of the ways we're addressing that is with new collections formats, including games, puzzles, a cognitive care kit donated by the Alzheimer's Society, and a VCR to DVD conversion kit. Do you maybe have some VHS tapes at your house that you can no longer watch or show your grandchildren from maybe their parents' childhood? We'll be having a workshop on how to use the kit, and then you'll be able to borrow it and convert your movies to DVD. Another way we're growing is through a reciprocal borrowing agreement with Whitestone Public Library and Technology Center. So if you have a public library card from McKellar, form's right here, you can also get a free borrowing card from Whitestone. Another area of growth is ensuring we have a well-informed library board. As you know, 2023 was the first year of the library board's new 4-year mandate. So all library board members received governance training from the Ontario Library Service. This was hosted by the Parry Sound Public Library, and although inclement weather forced the cancellation of the in-person session, we were able to attend the event via Zoom.
Our final pillar is communications and marketing. We launched our quarterly e-newsletter, which you can gain access to from our website, social media, and subscribers. We are currently making our website more functional and user-friendly. Our lobby board meetings have been changed to the evenings. All meetings are from 7 to 9 in the library on the last Monday from October to June, and we have hybrid meetings from November to April. The meetings will be held in person in the council chambers or remotely by Zoom. We did this change to attract more new board members to the library board. The library board has doubled its communication with the council, providing an interim update in September.
So now that we've accomplished all of these things, we're looking ahead to what we will do in 2024. Our two main goals this year are big ones: create an even more welcoming space at the library and install a maker space where people can explore and use new tools and technologies that they might not have at home for learning and enjoyment. To fund these ambitious goals, we applied for a Learning Engagement Accelerator Fund grant from Commonwealth in 2023. We were overwhelmed by the public support for our project. An adjudicator said he really enjoyed reading the more than 130 comments from the public in support of our submission, which definitely helped us succeed. We were one of only 11 successful applicants out of more than 70 applications. We're grateful to the Manitowabing Lake Community Association for getting our request for public support in front of many more eyes than we could have managed on our own. We also thank Council for its support. In early December 2023, we found out that we were successful. We received the funds, more than $49,000, on January 2nd. This grant will help us achieve some of our goals in our strategic plan. The makerspace and improvements to make our facility more welcoming will both be implemented because of this grant. We could not have done this without your support, and we're so excited to get started on our project. We're actually starting on Monday. The library will be closed during this construction, which might take a few weeks, but we will continue to serve our patrons by phone and with curbside pickup, just like we did during lockdowns. When the project is complete, all of you will be invited to our grand opening. So thank you again. And a note that's not in your report there, we have submitted our draft budget to Mr. Cantia, and we are not asking for any more funding from you than we did last year.
I'd like to thank the Sexcentennial Committee, the Recreation Committee, for partnering with us with the library in 2023. I'd also like to thank Council, my staff, my library board, for helping the library have one of the best years we've ever had. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
So how do you get to St. Lucia? What were you saying? Have to read a certain book? Is it?
That's it. You have to be a library member.
Now, I'm really interested. I don't know whether you're tracking or not. What are they reading out of Broadbent right now? I don't know. How does that actually function? Do you supply books out there and they take them and then return? Or?
People can return them when they're finished, or they can replace it with a book they already have. We don't actually track it. They're donated books. Some of them were donated by from the used book section of the library. Some of them were donated by library board members, and we have one box for adults and one for children. So Lynn Campbell, the assistant librarian, is responsible for refilling it, and she said that the children's one empties really quickly, so we're always looking out for new donations for that.
Okay, excellent. Other questions from council? Certainly is a happening place. We're quite busy, so...
Okay, thank you.
Great. Thanks again. And resolution 24-070, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Haskin.
Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received a deputation from Debbie Woods, Chair of the McKellar Township Public Library Board, and Terry Short, CEO of the McKellar Township Public Library, to present the library's 2023 annual report. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. Resolution 24-071, moved by Councillor Zulak, signed by Councillor Kekkonen, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the January 19th, 2024, and January 25th, 2024, and January 30th, 2024, special meetings of Council, and the January 23rd, 2024, regular meeting of Council is circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. And Resolution 24-072, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the minutes of the November 22nd, 2023 and November 29th, 2023 meetings of the North Bay Ferry Sound District Health Unit Board of Health. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Resolution 24-073, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the November 27, 2023 meeting of the Township of McKellar Public Library Board. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Resolution 24-074.
Yep.
Moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Haskin, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the November 22nd, 2023, December 13th, 2023 Government and Partnerships Committee, and December 20th, 2023 meetings of the District of Perry Sound West, Belvedere Heights, Board of Management. Any discussion of those minutes? Councillor Kekkonen?
Just under the financials look promising for the year end?
Yes. Yes. The employment of agencies is always going down. It seems to be going down, down, down all the time because they are hiring, they're training new staff. And so it was quite expensive before, and now it's coming down quite a bit. Hopefully it stays that way.
Is it showing a $100,000 operating surplus towards at the year end, and $67,000 forecasted surplus? $67,000 forecasted surplus.
Yeah, and the budget is down. Now it's $1 million.
Wow, that's great.
And so the new staff you're hiring, they're not paid as much, I assume, as the agencies were?
Exactly.
And they're okay with that? Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? No opposed. Carried. And Resolution 24-075, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive Report T-2024-02. Statement of the Council Remuneration and Expenses 2023 from Treasurer Rojan Cantilla for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Kekkonen?
So there are some numbers there that bring a question, such as, so this was for the year 2023. So there's councillors on here from the 2022 term of council.
Okay.
So our fiscal year is January 1st to December 31st. Just wondering why there's some expenses for the previous term of council.
Okay. We'll ask the treasurer why that is.
And under expenses, It talks about the District of Prairie Sound Municipal Association spring and fall meetings, and that there's five councillors that there's expenses for, whereas there were no expenses claimed. To receive expenses, there have to be an expense form submitted. So no councillor got paid any expenses for those meetings.
That's true.
Okay. I'll ask the treasurer to correct that.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Speakers? So we're just receiving for information purposes, not approving yet. So Dr. Rochon. Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 24-076, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the registration form from the District of Prairie Sound Municipal Association for the Parliamentary Procedures Course. Okay, missed one, I don't know. We can do this, it doesn't matter. So. Maybe there's no resolution for 19-1.
Yes.
Okay, we'll just keep going. For the Parliamentary Procedures Course instructed by AMCCO, and further authorize the following staff to be registered for the course, with all applicable expenses to be paid by the Township at $263 per person. Mary Smith, Treasurer and Administrative Assistant, Ina Watkinson, Clerk Administrator, and Carly Britton, Deputy Clerk / Planning Assistant. Discussion? This, for those following, this is 19.2 on the agenda. Council Kaika?
So I looked at the calendar. This is a Friday, April the 12th, and it looks like the main administrative staff would be attending this full-day course, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. I'm just wondering who's going to be staffing the township office.
Be the treasurer and the CBO.
So they are aware that they're going to be staffing the municipal office
yes.
that day?
Yes.
Okay.
Further questions? Do you have any update as far as numbers?
I'm almost at capacity. I'm waiting for three other municipalities to confirm, but we'll be capping it at 45 participants.
Good. Any other questions for the discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. I guess we can speak to 19.1, even though there's no resolution as such. Prairie Sound Downtown Business Association Maple Syrup Festival. They're looking at, I guess, more information from us as time's closing in on whether we're going to contribute. I suppose it's a book form, and whether we want a quarter, half, a full page, and the costs are there, and or whether we even want a page. So I guess that's the question council has to decide on. Plus, we haven't talked budget yet, so the concern would be, I guess, what would this come from? We have that, we had certain dates, I guess, for donations and certain places where you could donate from the township under different requests that come in. Do we have a date for when that, I know we talked about it last year and we changed the date, I think, when those submissions had to be in so that they didn't miss them. We had three, I think, applicants last year. But I'm not sure what the date
is. I believe it was changed April 1st.
So the question here is, I guess, are we going to participate? What size of a page do we want? What do we want on it? And these are all things that have to be negotiated. And I know we haven't had an opportunity to discuss it as council. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on it. Perhaps that's why there's no resolution. Councillor Haskin.
Yeah, I'll just touch on it briefly. It's great that Prairie Sound is having this event this summer. And it'd be nice to contribute. We may still, if council decides to, but at the same time, McKellar has all sorts of activities ourselves. We're going to have, I believe, the Rib Fest is going to go, which is a a big event for us this year, and it's all the costs from that. Well, we actually make money on that, you know, through entry fees and that. So I kind of lean toward thinking McKellar has enough to going on, and we have our own groups that will obviously probably some of them may ask for funding by the deadline if it's still April 1st this year. So I would lean, it's nice to contribute to the area sometimes, but maybe this isn't the time, in my opinion, but council may feel different.
Well, I'd be interested in knowing too, and I don't know who would actually have the information. They talk about various people displaying wares, it'd be vendors at this festival. How many are actually from the township? I don't know. Because I know we do have maple syrup producers in the township, but are they going to Perry Sound to be on the main street or wherever it's going to be held and actually set up a shop there? I don't know. And as I say, I don't know how many could answer that question right now. Councillor Zula?
So maybe that if we send something to April Denman and asked her, you know, if she gets anything, any people from McKellar that are going to be in their market or something, she could let us know.
I think that'd be useful. We talked before about Chamber of Commerce and how many people from the township. I think we have two businesses participate, and it's not a great number.
Four
now? Okay. Must have been a sales.
Not many, but four. So.
So is council agreeable to that? We'll just try to get more information from April Benman?
Yeah.
Okay. On to bylaws. And resolution 24-077, move by Councillor Keckman, second by Councillor Zulak. Whereas bylaw 2023-66, being a bylaw to regulate the speed of motor vehicles and certain highways within the municipality, had first and second readings carried on October 3rd, 2023. And whereas the public has been given the opportunity by at least two open committee of the whole meetings to provide feedback to the township with regards to speed limit changes within the township, and whereas limited feedback was received in 2023, therefore providing direction in the proactive purchasing of the requisite hardware, now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2023-66, being a bylaw to regulate the speed of motor vehicles on certain highways within the municipality, a third reading, further passed in open council the 6th day of February 2024. Before opening it up for discussion, and I know this is quite controversial, and there's been a fair bit of feedback certainly sent in to council, and we appreciate that. So we want to make sure that people are using the democratic process so that they are concerned. The genesis of this, just a little background, actually probably during the last campaign, when people in various areas of the township had stressed that there was excessive speed, and we tried to tell them as well that the big problem is not only the signage but enforcement, because it's the OPP that does that. And we know from even Manitowoc Lake that not very often the OPP are out there. So in the selling boat on our roads, even on 124. So the enforcement is the problem. There were certain areas that people had talked about down around Herdville and at the Stewart Park boat ramp and Lakeside Drive where they wanted a reduced speed. And again, control is a concern. We didn't have a roads committee as such. What we did last year was set up a committee of the whole approach so that the public could join in. The problem that passed with the roads committee was that roads committee were actually, from what I could see, passing resolutions without bringing it back to council. Now, it didn't matter an awful lot, I guess, because the members of the road committee were council. But the actual procedure should have come back to council for council deliberation and pass it in that fashion, but it was going straight from the roads committee. So we went to committee of the whole, and we had two or three of those throughout the year, and we're trying to put more in print, in writing, what the director of operations is doing, and he's starting to do that. Much of it was verbal, certainly through the committee, but people were able to listen in. Throughout 2023, as we said before, there seemed to be very little response to what was happening. Now, that's the nature of the beast, I think, because until people are actually directly affected, they often don't get involved. We need a third reading. Certainly that was held off because there was a discussion on, you know, the chicken or the egg sort of thing, which comes first, the purchasing of the signs, putting them up with a third reading. We were believing that third reading was taking place prior to any installation of signage. Unfortunately, miscommunication, whatever happened, some signs started to get moved and changed. That wasn't on direction of council, just so we were clear, and that has to be clarified. Council had looked at 2003 was the last bylaw, 20 years ago, when we reviewed the speed limits on the various roads within the municipality's control. And at that point, most of the roads were in the default position of 50 in the built-up areas, 50 kilometers, and 80 on the more rural roads, the Center Road and Balsam and Hurtville Road. And so it was decided even then in 2003 to change some of the speeds. And so we had various roads identified. I think it totaled about 20. And they were changed from the 80 on the main roads to the 60. And when we put this out this year, or last year actually when we started, the 60 was still suggested to be in place. That morphed into a 50. And that obviously has created some concerns because it's not only more signage, it's changing a speed that we thought was acceptable. So what we have to do is, again, get more information from the public, I think. And it has been pointed out, rightfully so, that we mentioned it before, but we didn't really add up the cost. If you're going to place them every 600 meters, and we asked the director of operations on that too, to make it legal, that's what you have to do. And what would that be? So we haven't considered the third reading until this evening, and I'm just going to throw out there as a possibility that since concerns come in from certain areas only, and that 2003 we dealt with 20 roads, and now we have over 90 on the list, I think, whether we should continue with this or start the process all over again, whether you want to defer this third reading, whether you want to defeat it, certainly we can hear from the public on that and get their opinion as well. Or whether you want to pass it, that's certainly an option as well. I think the other concern we had is that since we've gone to the default position, which is 50 kilometers in built-up areas, a lot of roads, it was pointed out to us, and we knew that already, that there's no signage in many of the roads. And so the default position is 50 kilometers if people wanted to go at that excessive speed on Mary Street, for instance. I guess they could legally do that. We didn't have signage throughout the village, and there are many other roads too. I know the signage was changed in some of the subdivisions. Hall is the one that comes to mind. And the same sort of thing, and I mentioned this at one of the previous council meetings, the signage was changed, and there was not even a first and second reading. There were no readings of a bylaw. So that was pointed out to the council of the day, and those signs were put back the way they were, that the change didn't take place. And so what I'm putting out here to council as a suggestion is that, first of all, direction to the director of operations cease and desist any purchasing, and that we review the actual signs that had been changed without the third reading, and that was a concern. As I said, the council never endorsed that. It was always a question which comes first. And I guess it was the nice weather that promoted the installation. So I'm recommending anyway that those signs be restored the way they were, at whatever cost it is. It's miscommunication, I think, and we're not throwing anybody under the bus for what happened. But I think that can resolve it at this point, and you can decide as a council whether you want to start all over again with this and look at the problem areas that were brought out to us. Although enforcement, as I said before, is always a key concern, or whether you just want to leave things the way they are, in the sense of what the way they were before the signs were actually changed, in which case this bylaw just ceases to exist. So you can either defeat this now, or defer it for further research, or pass it. So a discussion from council first, and then we'll open it up to the public. Don't say I talked too much. Councillor Kekkonen.
Thank you for the background information. Personally, I feel the only way to clear the slate right now is to defeat this bylaw and to set in place a policy so that any speed limit changes are citizen-initiated. Most other municipalities have that to ensure that it's an open public process that's initiated by the citizens who feel that that's actually needed, and then it goes through an evaluation process using, you know, resources which most municipalities use, such as the Ontario Traffic Manual or the Traffic Association of Canada guidelines for road issues, and as well as the Highway Traffic Act. So that is my position, and that's where I will be, that's the direction I will be aiming for.
Okay, other comments from council?
I can support
Councilor
that.
Ryan?
Yeah, sorry. I can support what Mike has recommended here. The only thing that I see that was omitted was, David, you had mentioned that we should revert back to what we had before this. And I think even replacing the signs back to what they were before this as well. And it would seem to me that if we were going to follow that path, that we should do those two extra steps as well. In other words, to make it consistent. I mean, and in other words, and again, if some owners or some properties want to adjust it, if they bring it forward to us, then we could consider a change for those individual roads. Right?
Okay.
I didn't hear you say that, Mike, but I think that was implied anyway. So.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. Like, even now, and I know it's still an unassumed road, in Deerfield as an example, they've put up 20-kilometer signs all through there. Not legal signs,
yeah.
But they've done it themselves. So there may be a chance down the road we have a certain percentage of people in a certain subdivision who want a certain speed, because they're the ones who drive in there most of the time, and that's when council would have to decide if that's a good limit to impose at that point. Now, again, it's the enforcement issue, but other comments from council?
Yeah, I could, Council Haslam, I could go along with the defeating and starting over. I don't think we can just scrap it. I think we got to continue to go forward because we already have a lot of concerns. Like you say, Mayor Moore, such as during your campaign, there are different people complaining of speeding, and then we've had complaints from Herdville, Esther Park, Boat Ramp, Lakeside Drive. And especially the people from Lakeside Drive are really adamant that we get that speed limit lowered as soon as possible. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen. So it's like a flip side here. A lot of people are complaining, oh, we don't want to drive slower. But at the same time, we've had a lot of people saying people are driving too fast. So I guess it was initiated to try to accommodate those people. And I, for one, know I can speak for where I live, Broadbent, that the speed limit's 60 kilometers to go through there. That is too fast. I hope that if we do this evaluation system that I can be classed as a citizen, because I will complain about that immediately. And I know there's a lot of streets, especially right here in the village, that is just ridiculous to drive what is allowed there now. So I don't think we can sit on it for too long. I think we got to proceed. And in my opinion, there's going to be a lot of roads that will be getting speed reductions, because on the flip side, we've had a few, say a dozen people complaining about the speed limits going up. I think on the flip side, when this is defeated, I think we're going to see not that many more people plus complain that we're not doing anything. So if I vote to defeat it, I want to keep this rolling and get some speed limits dropped to what they should be as soon as we can.
Councilor Kacker?
Some of the areas of concern, such as in Herdville at the sharp corner, the sharp corners coming up to Stewart Park Boat Launch on the east and the west, they can be dealt with using cautionary or recommended speed limit signs, the yellow signs that you see, and just to advise that the conditions are changing and that those are the recommended speed limits for that section of road, and that does not require this bylaw to be passed here tonight.
Okay, any other comments from council? We'll open up to the public in person first and then on Zoom.
Barry Emerson. In response to Mr. Haskin, I think you were saying that the road, the streets in McKellar,
if people drove what they can,
mm-hmm.
then it would be far too fast.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, I live on those streets. It's not an issue. I don't know about Lakeside Drive, or Lakeshore Drive, I apologize, Lakeshore Drive.
No, it's Lakeside. You're right.
But the streets in McKellar, it's not an issue. People don't.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Perry, but what about safety? You know, you have some corners there. If somebody did the speed limit on some of those corners, they'd end up out in somebody's house in certain locations, sort of thing.
So are you, we're just going to continue with what if, what if, what if? I mean, unless you can show there is a problem, there's been a problem demonstrated, you're making a mountain out of a molehill, creating a problem where it doesn't exist.
Okay, well, I'll give you full respect. You know the village better than I do. But I, for one, know, say, take Broadbent Road, for example, where it's 60 kilometers. And I, on my way here tonight, I even thought, okay, I was doing 50 over the one knoll toward McCord's Road. And when I was doing 50, if I came over that and anybody pulled out of McCord's Road, they'd be wearing me on the side of their vehicle. It's like you wouldn't have been stop, especially if it was 60 like it is now. If I was, I would be flying up over that hill and there'd be a collision. So that's why I feel the Broadbent Road should
okay,
be.
And I can't speak to, and likewise, I can't speak to that particular spot. I don't drive it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be reducing speed limits, I mean, I don't know where this 20 kilometer limit came up. I mean, that is absolutely insane. Have you ever driven 20 kilometers an hour? That's idle. You're idling. I mean, that is ridiculous. I don't know who came up with that number, but that's crazy. But I think if you're going to be talking about, for certain areas you've had complaints, well, instead of relying on objections, why don't you make sure you have a certain percentage of support from that area before you just go ahead. And then you don't have this backlash after the fact.
Yeah, no, that's valid enough.
And I don't know about these speed cameras. I don't know where...
That's coming up later. No, there's a miscommunication there. People
okay.
misinterpret it.
So. Okay, all right. That's
coming up.
That's a lot later.
Yeah. Under new business.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Nice.
Dan Peters, Coal Point Trail. I guess I was looking for what the background on where the speed limit came up. You explained part of it here. I'm in the community all the time. I didn't know anything about any public consultation. I didn't know about the Committee of the Whole. I'd be happy to jump on a Committee of the Whole. And I'm a former police officer, so I don't have any problem talking about enforcement or traffic studies or anything like that. So I was here to hear about how this came about, why it was being pushed, the 50-60. I understand the photo radar thing. I've read it now. I've already looked at that, so that's why I'm here. So, but I'm glad we got a chance to speak.
Yeah, just for clarification, Committee of the Whole is not really a committee. It's just a council.
Just a public meeting.
Public meeting. Yeah,
I wasn't aware of any of the, like, I don't know if there's a better way to communicate things that are happening other than posting, or I don't know. That's, I guess, something council will have to...
Yeah, well, we attempt to. It was posted certainly on the website, but, yeah. Okay, open it up to Zoom members. If you have anything, new information for us. And we'll need your name first.
Sherry Silva.
Okay, go ahead.
I definitely agree with Morley. Like, some of the roads, like Center Road, Hurdle Road, should remain at 60K. I definitely agree with, like, Broadbent Road being reduced to 50 kilometers an hour through the Broadbent Village there, because it's like windy, and like, I don't think I've ever done over 50 kilometers an hour going through Broadbent there. So as far as the rest of the roads, like going to 20 kilometers an hour, I'm not too sure about some of the side roads that they were talking about there, but 20 kilometers an hour is like turtle slow. So I'm not sure about that.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else on Zoom?
Hi, it's Ted Davidson. Can you hear me?
Yes, sounds good.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, Councillor Ryland will probably remember that we sat on a roads committee back in, I think, 2020, 21. And that the report that was submitted to council also dealt with speed limits. And in fact, it contained an appendix attached to that original report that went to council, which suggested speed limits throughout the township on the various streets. It also indicated that the council would be reviewing the speed limits within the township based on the road geometry, the use of the road, the amount of traffic on the road, and other matters. And I don't see that any of that has been done with respect to the speed limits that have been placed on the 20 kilometer, for example, road limits or streets, or reducing the speeds from 60 kilometers to 50 kilometers. The speed should be set, I think, as engineers would suggest, at the 85th percentile of what the traffic is moving, because we have various streets within this municipality that, for example, the village streets in McKellar that I've driven, there's no possible way of me getting up to 50 kilometers per hour on those streets.
That's good to hear.
And I think most drivers are responsible. Yes, there's going to be drivers that are irresponsible, but most drivers are responsible for themselves, for example, their passengers, their vehicle, pedestrians, etc., and will engage the speed they're traveling at according to those environmental and physical attributes of the surroundings. I can't see going 50 kilometers, for example, on Mary Street in the village. I can't see going 50 kilometers per hour on William Street, which is turns into Mary Street, or Louisa Street. And the thought of putting a 20 kilometer begin sign at the entrance to each one of those streets is just, to me, is just a waste of resources and money, to be honest with you. Most of the roads that are posted, I wouldn't expect that the inroad that you're suggesting be reduced to 40 kilometers per hour is going to stop the guy speeding to catch his tee off time at the Ridge of Manitou. I don't believe it's going to do that. 50 kilometers per hour is the proper speed for it. There's pedestrians on that road, there's campers on that road, as well as Camp Road. And I don't understand where the reductions in speed came from, because it doesn't appear that there was any study done with respect to the speed limits. They were just plucked out of the air. So those are my comments, and I think you have my written comments as well. And as for the public notice, in listening back to the October 3rd, 2023, that's the first indication that I had that the public notice was going to be posted. That there is a public notice posted on your public notice page, and there's nine pages of public notices, none of which are current. They've all finished. They date back to 2022. You can imagine a resident going to the public notice page and going through nine pages of public notices to find the one with respect to speed limits. You could have current public notices, you could have past public notices, but there has to be some way of separating these out so that the residents could go to a public notice page and say, oh, this is a current one, I have to submit comments by such and such a date. It's simple.
Well, we concur, that'll be a future meeting. We have talked about it, that we'll sit down and go right through the webpage, line by line, and what people see and what they shouldn't see. Well, that'll be a future meeting, yes. We take that to heart, what you're saying.
Okay. All right, those are all my comments, Mr. Mayor, but I would suggest that this matter be deferred, that proper study be done, and it be brought back at a later date.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Other comments? Okay, hearing none, and any more comments from council?
There's a hand.
Oh, is there a hand up? Okay.
Well, there was, but it's gone. I don't
see it now. Mm-hmm.
Councilor Ryan?
I recall both from work that I did on the ad hoc committee that Ted was referring to, as well as on other documents related to roads, including the roads needs study. There is a direct tie-in between, I believe that there's a table, a spreadsheet to be more precise, in the roads needs study that had, whether it was a recommendation, I don't really recall, but they do mention speed limits as one of the criteria that they were using for various road conditions. And certainly on the ad hoc committee, I know that there was a section in there, and it may be the table that I think Ted is referring to, which is just a list of roads, basically, with some, again, I'm not clear whether they were recommendations or simply a statement of what we believe the speed limits to be, but that those things are referenced a number of points in papers that I have at home. I did not bring them with me, of course, but I can look them up. I mean, and I think it would be at least a piece of information that might help us get a more educated view of what the thought process is. So.
Okay, sounds good. We'll put this out to the vote then. And as I said before, this is moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak, and I did read it, right? Okay. So the question is, all those in favor? Opposed. Okay, it's defeated. So from what I'm hearing here is that that particular bylaw no longer exists, and we'll start over again and look at problem areas and the study that Councillor Ryland referred to. Maybe even we'll have to look at cost. Have an engineer look at certain roads. I guess the other thing, as I mentioned, this is more direction to staff, that our director of operations be told to cease and desist, no more purchasing, and to put the signs back the way they were. Hopefully he remembers what they were.
Can we do a direction for that?
Okay. A direction or a resolution?
Oh, a resolution.
Yeah, so, okay. I'm not sure how staff communicates, but that would be good.
I tell staff that
I know,
they won't
okay.
do anything without a direction of council.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I don't want to interrupt, but I think it would be appropriate to have a resolution dealing with the replacement of the signs that have been taken down.
Yes, that's what Ian is working on right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just thinking on this issue relative to, well, everything we've just discussed in the last few minutes, but we probably need to define a process on how we would manage speed limit changes in terms of, obviously, if we want local users to come forward with their, you know, suggestions up or down or recommendations up and down. I mean, I think it's fine just to say that, but we should also perhaps include what other criteria that we would use and how we would go about.
That's excellent because I don't think you can just rely on people. We talked about that, just people in a certain area wanting it a certain way.
Yeah.
I think that's been pointed out even this evening that is there anything to back that up, any technical reason, et cetera?
Sure.
Because other people drive those roads as well.
Sure.
And I guess you don't want a situation where you're driving through the township and suddenly you've got three or four different speed zones and you're not sure. You're sort of assume that it's the same, but it may not be.
On the flip side of the coin, living on McCord's Road, and I know the proposal was, or their bylaw was, to make that 40, It's a road that I walk on almost daily, and 40 would scare me, quite frankly, because there's nowhere to go, right? There's no shoulders, like a lot of roads. Again, my memory is, and I could be faulty on this, but the Roads Need Study, I think, had either 8 or 9 different tables in the back that covered different aspects of the roads. And there is one, at least, that mentions speed limits. And again, I don't know whether they were what they understood the existing limits to be or whether they were proposing them. But and they also had average daily traffic volumes and a whole bunch of other stats like that, too. So I think we could build that into a process, say, let's look at it within that prism to understand, you know, what we should try and do.
Sounds good.
Yes, on those on that point, there are municipalities that have speed limit evaluation guides and policies to ensure that there is a open public process, a flowchart process from start to finish.
Okay.
Is that what you have there, Mike, from another municipality?
There's numerous municipalities, and most of them, they refer to the Transportation Association of Canada, Canadian Guidelines for Establishing Posted Speed Limits.
Okay.
That is the go-to document, as well as the Ontario Traffic Manual, which is a Ministry of Transportation document.
I'm wondering, Councillor Crickin, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but how often are those updated? What's the date of that document you referenced?
So this one's July 6th, 2022.
Okay, so that's fairly recent. I'm just wondering, because lots of times you get legislation that's dated early 2000s and it's not updated. That sounds fairly recent. Okay, so this is, 21.1A?
Yeah.
You can put that in later.
Yes.
We have resolution 24-078, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar, is hereby directed the Director of Operations to restore the speed limit signage to its original set speeds, as per current bylaw, and further direct that no future purchase of speed limit signs is undertaken unless directed by council. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Councillor Ryland. Councillor Ryland, you'll find that roads policy in the August 30th minutes of council or agenda package of 2022, item 6.1.
Okay, thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
So we're on to 21.2. Resolution 24-079, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-14, being a bylaw to stop up and close part of the original road allowance between concession 12, part lot 21, and concession 13, part lot 21, Township of McKellar, District of Parry Sound, as part of the land exchange for portions of Balsam Road, Zulak Estate, first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open council the 6th day of February 2024. Discussion? Maybe Carl, you'd want to add a little information there? Just
I can confirm that the lawyer working for the estate of the Dorothy Zulak did receive a copy of this draft bylaw, and he agrees with it, and he's didn't have any changes to make to it.
Okay, so Part 8 is already registered?
Correct.
And Part 7 will be registered then?
Yes.
He shall do that. Okay. Should resolve it, we hope. Any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried.
What resolution number was that, sorry?
079.
079. Thank you.
Resolution 24-080, moved by Councillor Hassan, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-15, being a bylaw to amend bylaw 2020-28, being a bylaw to regulate parking, the occupation of a highway, and to establish a permit system as amended the first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed in open council the 6th day of February 2024. Discussion? Whether somebody wants to speak to that?
There was discussion held with the bylaw officer in regards to ticketing vehicles for obstructing the highway while they're doing snow removal. Currently, we are go by the provincial offenses standard fines for anything like that. They have not been updated since 2003, I believe, is what Mr. Stoneman had told me, except for blocking an area for an electric car charging station is $300. Everything else is still at $25. Mm. We do have the ability to create our own set fees. Tom and Chris Borlo did discuss, and they had set the fees that they thought were appropriate. As Mr. Stoneman had mentioned, it costs a minimum of $50 to plow your driveway, and it costs you $25 to park on the roads and inconvenience the snowplow. So there has to be some kind of initiative to make people realize it's going to cost them more money than just this at $25. And, I mean, we're all aware of the fact that we've had one incident where it's considerably more than $25 is what the cost has been. So that's why these are the fees that Chris and Tom have discussed and had thought were appropriate.
I guess the question is, of course, that they, being in the business, they may have done the study. I don't know. Have they checked surrounding townships? Have they talked?
They have.
Okay.
They have checked with other townships. And even once this, if agreed that council goes ahead with this, it still has to go to the court and it has to be approved by the court. Okay. So they may come back and say, no, that $75 is too much.
Now, how does this work, these fines, anyway, as far as can someone still go to court and protest this and fight the fine?
Yep.
It's not a fine that sometimes happens. It's put on taxes?
Yes.
So this is a different, where it's like
this
a parking ticket?
This is provincial
ticket.
Offenses.
Yeah, okay. I guess the other question we have tonight, this just sort of came to us. We haven't looked, although you edified to a certain extent what they were being charged. We're getting new figures here, and we're relying on their expertise that these are appropriate figures. I'm just wondering if we need a bit more information, either to have them here or to explain, because rather than just pull a figure out, there should be some, you know, reasoning behind it.
Certainly.
And we don't want a situation either where people are taking it to court and deciding to fight
certainly.
It a little bit. So. I don't know what the council members think, but Councilman Zulak.
I would agree with that, but I was also wondering, is there warnings? Like, how many warnings, or is there automatically given a fine with this? Do we know that, or is that something that we could...
That would be, I would say,
a discussion
between Greg and between the Director of Public Works and the bylaw officer, whether they want to do the warning or ticketing.
So maybe if we put this off, and then we could have Public Works here and bylaw, and we could discuss how the procedure that's goes, and then they can also give us information as to why they came to this.
Sounds good.
Sure.
Councilor Cuckman.
And we definitely would have to have the current version of the bylaw here so we can be comparing what we're agreeing to. So, definitely need some type of report and definitely the bylaw so that we know what the fine details of the bylaw. And wouldn't this go to the court, this recommendation go to the court first before we pass a bylaw instead of passing a bylaw and...
Pass the bylaw first.
And then if you pass the bylaw and they say these are not reasonable amounts...
Then we revert back to the old until...
Well, we would repeal it, right?
Yep.
So they have the authority to quash the bylaw?
Yes.
Okay.
Or they have the authority to say, no, we've agreed to, rather than 75, we've agreed to 50. And then we would have to amend.
This seems rather backwards, and you might as well start with them. But
yeah.
Might as well give the job to them.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make sense. It would make sense if you provide them with the draft bylaw, they review it, they review the fines, and then they come. I think that's what I recall in the past from reports that we received from the bylaw enforcement officer, that he came back and he said, yes, the court agrees that these fines are reasonable. So I'm not sure, we should double check that process.
Okay. That's good to check, because I know our bylaw enforcement is relatively new to the position. And as Councillor Keckin had said, I think that was the process in the past. I know certainly with Gary Joyce, a lot of the fines were actually put into the bylaw because they didn't exist before.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to coordinate that. But it's the same sort of thing. If you're going to go and fight it in court, you have to be able to support it, and
mm-hmm.
it has to stand up.
Yeah.
And I know, I realize too, that they can make decisions, justice of the peace or whoever you go to, and they can reduce the fine or they can charge you the full amount and whatever. But Councillor Haskin, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, I don't know if any of the other municipalities have went through this or adjusted fines in the last couple of years, whether they would have information or get what they charge for each one of these offenses and whether the courts did approve them or not, might give us some insight and changes that can be made even when we do meet with Greg
okay.
and Tom.
Do we need their approval, or we just need them not to disagree with what we've recommended or not recommended, we put
it
in?
My understanding is they approve it.
Okay.
That we...
Okay, so approve or disapprove individual items even. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what I'm hearing is a deferral for this until we get more information.
Yeah.
Okay, any further discussion on that? I'll call the question. All those in favor of deferral? Okay. On to new business. This is dealing with the ASE motion. Resolution 24-081, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskell. Whereas resolution number 23-465, wherein the request from the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, quote, that the Ontario government amend section 205.1 of the HCA to permit municipalities to locate an ASE system permanently or temporarily on any roadway under the jurisdiction of municipalities and as determined by municipalities and not be restricted to only community safety zones and school safety zones, end quote, was carried at the July 4th, 2023 regular open meeting of council, whereas it was noted in the agenda package that the resolution had its origins in a resolution carried by the City of Woodstock, copied to all Ontario municipalities in a letter dated June 27th, 2023, and whereas the council's intent was to demonstrate support for the Council of the City of Woodstock in its attempt to lobby for an amendment to the Highway Traffic Act to allow more municipal control in certain situations, not to advocate for an ASE system for the Township of McKellar, and whereas certain persons have incorrectly concluded that Council was contemplating the use of an ASE system for the Township of McKellar, and whereas Council feels it is necessary to dispel any rumors regarding its intentions in this matter,
Now, therefore, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar rescind Resolution 23-465 in its entirety. Discussion?
I think it's pretty clear.
Okay. All question? All those in favor?
Recorded vote.
Okay.
Councillor Morley Haskam?
Yes.
Councillor Mike Heckman?
Yes.
Councillor Nick Ryan?
Yes.
Councillor Debbie Zulak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. Five yeses, yeas, no nays, so it's carried. One other thing I haven't, well, first, with anybody else have anything under new business here? I know it's on our agenda, but one other thing I just wanted to mention quickly. When we receive the confidential clerk's memo, it's confidential written all over. And when we have closed meetings, it's closed by the Municipal Act. We're allowed to talk about certain things in closed session to protect the people who are involved for various reasons. But it's come to my attention that information is being leaked from people sitting around this table. Not to name names, but it's interesting that certain people of the public come back with information. And we have the proof of this. With information that was never divulged, it was actually discussed in a closed meeting. So whoever is doing it, cease and desist, because we have a code of conduct, and we don't want to be bringing the integrity commissioner in on a regular basis. It has happened in other municipalities, and we don't want council to be fighting with council. We know the rules, we signed up for those, and let's obey them. So I'll just put that out to everybody, that no information leaves a closed session. The code of conduct will explain that to you. The integrity commissioner would explain that. Well, she did explain it to us. Confidentiality, if it says confidence, confidential, then that's what it is. That's what it remains. Okay? Just a caution. Any public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members? Any committees that you've attended? Wish to report? Councilman Zulak?
Well, I attended a library committee, but I think they pretty well covered everything in their report. So.
Yeah, no, they're doing really well. I just hope they haven't forgotten that there used to be a bookmobile. That
no, they keep, they're reminded of that quite often. Yeah, and they're, like they said, they're a very enthusiastic group of people and always looking for more people to join the board.
Yes.
I always have to put that plug in.
There's a plug in there, yes. That's good. Be interesting to see the space they come up with and what people create. Other reports? Councillor Haskam, you're at a planning board, anything?
Planning board, yes, I was. Everything, all applications passed, I
no,
believe.
No, EDC no. On Tate's Island? You
oh, yes, there was a, I had one that they thought they it expired, and
right.
Now they're going to have to reapply.
Right. Okay. Any other committee reports? Workshops? No? We have resolution 24-082, moved by Councillor Keckman, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from the consent agenda? Councillor Zulak.
25.8.
Okay. Expanding lifespan of fire apparatus?
Yes, I was just thinking that was maybe, well, I think it's of interest, and could we maybe pass this on to our fire chief, and he could comment on it, give it a report back, because like they're saying in here that the lifespan is going by the year of the truck, but we don't use the truck as trucks in that as much as they would in cities. Instances, so in the rural lifespan should be a lot longer, I think. So I would, if we could pass that on to the fire chief.
Well, I think that would be excellent. It is a difficult situation. I know that, like they say, in the
in their letter, they're treating the rural and the urban the same, and it's unfortunate because, well, we don't have the big departments, and if they keep changing the regulations that you need such and such a dated equipment by a certain time, we just can't keep affording to buy the new equipment. So.
And the trucks are so expensive.
Right? Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, the same holds true even for things like their bunker gear, which is, you know,
that's
runs
right.
from the date the item was manufactured, even if we didn't buy it at that time, right? Which, again, I assume our bunker gear is worn far less frequently than a city fire department. But,
right.
But anyway, yeah, I agree. I don't have a problem with certainly asking the fire chief for his comments. Anyhow, I think it would be worthwhile. So.
And then could, in a note to him, right, when you're about this, can you also maybe get him to read the bunker gear too that you brought up? Like, what do they do with the old bunker gear that's still in good? Is it just destroyed or what?
Find out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, any further points we pulled? All the question then? All in favor? Not pulled. Carried. Question comment period related to items on the agenda from the public, in person, on Zoom. Items on the agenda. Yes, we'll need the mic again. Just so the people on Zoom will know your name again.
Dan Peters, Coal Point Trail. I was just going to suggest to Ina that maybe approach the town of Prairie Sound about bylaws. They would have fines that maybe they've updated recently and have those same ones, and then you know that the courts are going to pass those.
Okay.
I'm sure that's sure. I'll share with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Excellent. Anybody on Zoom? Questions related to items on the agenda? I'm just pleased that our system's working tonight, so it seems to be good. Maybe we shouldn't go too far right now.
Don't say it too soon.
No, that's all right. So we have Resolution 24-083, moved by Councillor Haskin, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby give bylaw number 2024-16, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council, first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open Council of the 6th day of February 2024. All question? All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-084, move the Councilor Zulak, second to Councilor Beckman. Be resolved with Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at 8:13 p.m. to meet again on February 20th, 2024, at the call of the mayor. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.